Good morning. Let's continue in God Has a Plan. This will be part four, and where we will look at the rest of the description of the sixth seal. In the sixth seal, part of chapter six and all of chapter seven describe the events of what occurs. And in the sixth seal, I am maintaining to you, is when Jesus Christ arrives, when he returns. It is in the sixth seal, the return of Christ. Many things happen because of the return of Christ. And as I mentioned to you last week, Revelation does this panoramic picture, detail picture, panoramic detail, heaven, earth, even sometimes talks about the dragon and the lamb. It uses all these metaphorical pictures. So you can't read Revelation the way you would read a normal book. In sequence, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, it doesn't work that way. The first part of Revelation are letters to the churches, which some people think represent churches from every age. Some people think that it represents churches that are of every kind. I don't know where to land on that one. And then we see a picture of the throne of God in heaven. And then we see John seen in the next chapter, chapter 5, the center of the throne occupied by the lamb that was slain but was alive. Then you see he who is seated on the throne with a scroll in his right hand. No one is found worthy to open the scroll, but the Lamb of God comes and he's found worthy and he's able to take this scroll and begin opening the seals. There's seven of them. He opens all up to the sixth seal. That's where we're at right now. And many different things occur. A horseman comes out in heaven and it has an impact on earth. A horseman comes out in heaven and it has an impact on earth. So we get all the way down to the sixth seal. And in the sixth seal, there's earthquakes, there's signs in heaven, the powers of heaven and the angels are cast down and shaken and Jesus Christ appears. He appears in heaven to planet earth and they all see him. Everybody, including non-believers, see him. His return has a dual impact. It is for many different purposes. First, it consummates the faith. The consummation of faith means it brings it to its final chapter. It reveals it for what it really is. It vindicates, it justifies, it brings the faith to its final place, if you will. It is the hope of all God's people. Our faith is called that in the scriptures. It is the hope of God's people. His appearing is what we're hoping for. We're hoping for him to return. Not hoping like, I hope he returns, but it is the future goal. It is the goal of every believer, his return. The second part of the return of Christ is it initiates, it starts, it commences the judgment of God upon a rebellious, sinful world. It actually, in the rapture and resurrection of the church, judgment begins with the house of God, so he deals with that, but that's in heaven. Now, it commences judgment on a God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting, Bible-rejecting world, and God pours out his full wrath upon that world. It's God's just retribution upon an evil world. Look what it says here in Titus concerning the hope of the Christians. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, that would be Jesus Christ, teaching us and the gospel that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope. There's the hope. The glorious, and here's the description of that hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our hope. That is the goal. Now, those who are left behind after the church is raptured and resurrected and taken into heaven, they will experience the full wrath of God. Nothing is in the way. There's no need to separate them. To be careful of the wheat and the chaff growing up together. God has now separated them. So now the wrath of God is able to be poured out without any boundary. The sixth seal. Here in the Old Testament, it's talked about in the book of Isaiah. The day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light." So what happens at the sixth seal? Christ returns, he raptures and resurrects the church, and then he begins the judgment of God upon a rebellious world and a rebellious spiritual world with the judgment of the demons. That's why they're cast to earth with Satan. Following the seventh seal in the book of Isaiah is this, God speaking again, "I, God, am going to punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I, God, will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I, God, will make man scarcer than pure gold, more rare than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I, God, will make the heavens tremble." That's a reference to the shaking of spiritual powers. "And the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger." So all of this setup in the opening of the sixth seal is in preparation for the commencement of the unrolling of the scroll and the wrath of God upon a rebellious creation. The left behind, I didn't mean the left politically, the left behind will know who God is and what he is about to do. Again, here in Revelation 6, in the description of the reaction to the opening of the sixth seal and the appearance of the Son of God in his second coming, the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from what? The face of him who sits on the throne." So they see him, they know who he is, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, who can stand? So they know who God is, and they know what he is about to do. So much for atheism and agnosticism. When he finally appears, they will acknowledge and they know that they're in trouble because they've lived in rebellion. They lived in God rejecting, God hating lifestyles, and God is about to bring all of that to account, and they know it. The rapture of the church in the sixth seal delivers us from this, from God's wrath. What we just read about here in this previous passage, the great day of their wrath has come. The rapture of the church delivers us from that. What are we being delivered from? Not from persecution, not from ungodly resistance against Christian faith. We're being delivered from God's righteous wrath against a rebellious creation. In Thessalonians, it says this, "The Lord's message rang out from you," Paul writing to the Thessalonian church, "Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you, the Thessalonians, turned to God from pagan idolatry to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he, God, raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Us, meaning the Apostle Paul saying, us, the born again, us who have received Christ. What are we rescued from? The wrath of God that is coming upon this earth. What rescues us from that? The rapture. That's what takes us away from God's just and righteous anger. The sixth seal, here it is continued in description because it is described from Revelation 6, verse 12, all the way through the whole chapter of 7. All the other seals, when they're open, they're not given this much print, but the sixth seal is. Why? Because so much happens when the sixth seal is open, because this is all in preparation for opening the final seal, the seventh seal, which then allows for the scroll to be opened and the will of God to be read. So what happens at the sixth seal? A global earthquake, cosmological signs, that means the sun is turned dark, The stars are dimmed, as we read in the book of Isaiah. The moon turns darker. Why is all of this happening? Because God turns out the natural lights, because his arrival is the only light that they get to see. They see him, and the light of God illuminates the earth. Demonic angels are cast down. Down from where? They're cast out of heaven. They're cast to earth for the final OK Corral scenario. Then we see here in the sixth seal, God revealed on his throne, because even the non-believers say, hide us from him who sits on the throne. And we see angels in the sixth seal stationed around the earth. Angels are stationed around the earth. God has chosen this place, this planet, to the final showdown between good and evil. And then we see in this seal also the 144,000 of Israel sealed. And we see the raptured church revealed. All of this is the sixth seal, all of this. Okay, so let's look. Angelic preparations. After these things, after what things? The sun being turned dark, the moon being dimmed out, the stars being dimmed, the global earthquake, the revelation of, if you will, God peeling back the spirit realm so that the physical realm can see the spirit realm. And what do they see? They see in the spirit realm God on his throne. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on this earth or the sea or on any tree. Now, this is not flat earth stuff, okay? People that have this weird thing going around on the internet about people believing in a flat earth. The earth is a globe. And if you take any globe, just remember when you took geometry, inside of the globe, you can put a cube. There are four corners on a globe. If you superimpose a perfect square into the globe, you'll see the four corners, okay? So these angels hold back the wind so that no wind can blow. If wind were to stop blowing, all kinds of things would happen on planet Earth. There would be no more wave action. There would be no more tidal action. There would be no more stirring of the air so that it would cool things off. Weather patterns would stop. So God is preparing the earth for something. What's he preparing it for? He's preparing it for judgment. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cries out with a loud voice to the four angels who are holding back the wind. And it says they're granted to harm the earth. And he says to them, don't harm the earth yet, or the sea, or the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So what's God doing here? He's pausing the judgment. He's pausing the wrath just for a minute so that he can seal. He has a final obligation to Israel proper. He has to seal people from every tribe in Israel. He returns in his covenant agreement with Israel, and he seals 144,000 of them. And then we see, revealed in the sixth seal, the raptured and resurrected and glorified church. That's what we see in the sixth seal. Watch. After that, I saw a great multitude which no one could number of all the nations, the tribes, the people, the tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing the raptured church in the sixth seal. Okay, so I am maintaining to you this. Jesus returns at the sixth seal. The church is raptured at the sixth seal. The non-believing world understands what's going to happen because here God reveals himself on the throne, and they know that time is over. The result of his redemption evokes even more praise and worship. So at the revelation of the glorified, raptured, and resurrected church, the angels and the elders and the four living creatures, they're all like, wow, now we see the final result of everything that you've done. Now we see what you did in the redemption. You said that you were going to call people from every tribe, every nation, every language into an eternal kingdom of priests. And that's what we're going to praise you for now even more. Now we don't just praise you for the one who is worthy to take the scroll and open the seals. Now we praise you for the fact that the one who is able to do this also brought into heaven, into eternity, a new creation of people who will serve God forever, just like the holy angels. All of the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So the result of the redemption evokes even more praise and worship, as we saw back in chapter 5 and in chapter 6. Now, the new creation is the church. It is the kingdom come. In the Lord's Prayer, we see, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. In the new creation, in the resurrected, raptured church, you see the kingdom come. You see God on His throne. You see the angels and the elders and the living creatures and the raptured souls of millions and perhaps billions of men and women from all time and history and every language and culture all over the world in front of Him. And that is the kingdom come. I saw a great multitude which no one could number. Revelation 7, 9. How many people are going to be saved? A lot of people like to say, oh, just a few, just a few. Yet the scriptures always indicate that a multitude that no one could number. If no one could number the number of people that are going to be saved, that means no one can number them. Well, how many people are going to be saved then? A number that no one can count. That's amazing. That's the new creation. That's the kingdom come. So let's read this together. One of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, that would be life on earth, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they, these people that came out of that, are now before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. He who sits on the throne of glory will dwell amongst them. They will neither hunger nor thirst anymore. The sun will not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Remember these passages because they'll be repeated at the end of the book of Revelation. God has a plan. And in that plan, the sixth seal reveals all of the culmination of His plan. Now, the opening of the seventh seal, which we will get into the next time, is about what God will do to those who refused to accept the truth, as it says in 2 Thessalonians, and be saved. And what God will do to the final false Christ, Antichrist, and how He will definitively and decisively complete His judgment upon a rebellious creation, even the spirit realm with Satan and the demons ending up in the lake of fire. So let's pray together. Lord, to teach these things is not an easy thing because they are grandiose. They encompass thousands of years, millions, perhaps billions of people, uncountable angels, uncountable redeemed. We don't know how many lost. So we just pray that in the midst of all of these large and amazing facts, we here in our little dash on earth would live our lives in a way that glorifies you, so that our praise may join the praise of billions of others who will go into eternity with us, to praise you and to love you and to celebrate you forever. I ask that you will open the hearts and the minds of your people to understand the book of Revelation. It is not a book for fear. It is a book for encouragement. It is not only a book of judgment. It is a book of deliverance, of redemption, of resurrection, of power, of glory, of eternal peace. It is God vindicated. It is Satan put in his place. It is us going to a place that sounds so fairy tale-ish that it sounds too good to be true, but it is not too good to be true, because you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you are so good because you share it with us. In Jesus' name, amen.